Blog Talk Radio.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like In Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect, all I need is a check. Mike, check.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this brand new edition of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Monax. I have to lead off with an apology. I came back about a month ago, a little more than a month ago, and I said I was back and the show was back and it was going to be very exciting. And then the day job got in the way. The coaching, the team had a good little run. We made the second round of the playoffs and things got a little busier than I anticipated. So I apologize. The first show was kind of a tease and then we went away, but we're back now. Fall is done. I am full blown blog mode over at grizzlybearblues.com as your site manager, Max, and your host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live, the flagship podcast on our GBB network podcasts. Ways to get in touch with the program, you can follow me on Twitter at GBB Live, as always. You can also follow the show on Twitter at GBB Live, excuse me. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax, M-U-L-L-I-N-A-X. I kindly ask that you do so. Could use all the followers. And I appreciate everybody who does follow, who follows the blog, all the work that we do over at grizzlybearblues.com. I always say our strength, our staff, and I'm a big fan of the work that we've been doing in the recent days and weeks since the Grizzlies have gotten fully underway with their season. So thanks to everybody who's checked out our work. Thanks to everyone who has been a part of our community as we move forward. And thank you, my guest tonight, who I'm very excited to welcome back onto the show. Again, it's going to be pretty cool to be back weekly, and I had an opportunity to be on 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis today and kind of getting back to the next swing, being more fully engaged with the Grizzlies. I still watch the games. Obviously, I've been writing, but the podcasting, the appearances, that's died down a little bit due to the football season being extended, but it's back now, and I'm excited to talk Grizzlies basketball for the next hour or so with my guest tonight. On the first segment here, coming up momentarily, is Jeff Calkins of the Daily Memphian and of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Excited to talk to him about the surprises, disappointments in the season so far, Mike Conley as an all-star potentially, all sorts of different stuff with Jeff, one of the foremost Memphis sports folks out there, so he's going to have perspective on those things and more. In the second segment of this podcast, we're going to have Peter Edmiston of the Athletic Memphis, as well as his own show on Sports 56 WHB in Memphis. Going to talk to Peter about his boy, Jaren Jackson Jr. Yes, he's allowed to claim him as his boy. I should have trusted Peter all along, but I think that the funny thing about Peter is his boy is even better than he thought he would be at this stage of his career. So we'll talk to Peter Edmiston, the co-host of Will and Peter on Sports 56 WHBQ in Memphis, and then also the Athletic Memphis, where he writes about the Grizzlies now. And then in the final segment, GBB's own associate editor, Mark King, at King_producer, will join the show. He's also the new host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast on the Locked On Network. I have a segment with him. He's going to come on this week and talk Grizzlies with me and a variety of other topics and things. I'm excited to have him back on the show as well. So, but before we get to all of that, I do want to touch on something that I've gotten a little bit of heat on in the past, and I just want to clarify. The Grizzlies are obviously 14-9, and being at 14-9 right now is good for the sixth seed in the Western Conference. They're 2.5 games out of the one seed behind the Denver Nuggets, who are 17-7 as of this recording. But they are also 2.5 games away from being out of the playoffs entirely. The Sacramento Kings, the Timberwolves, New Orleans Pelicans, those are all three teams that are at 500 or better that are currently on the outside looking into the Western Conference playoff picture. So it's not like we're looking at a team that is soundly in the playoffs. But we're also not looking at a team that is so far gone, like we were this time last year, that there was no hope. There was no hope that they were going to turn things around. It already kind of broke down to the point that there was no return, so to speak. And I have said over and over again that the goal for this season should be a conveying of that draft pick to Boston in the 2019 NBA draft. And as long as they're able to do that and play meaningful, fun basketball, again, I was going to be happy. And I'll get Jeff's take on that in a moment. But I'm standing by that. I'm happy with this team, even though I think they're going to cool off a little bit, even though I think they're going to regress some, even though I think you're looking at a roster that's going to show some of its imperfections soon enough as time goes on. I'm not sure that they can sustain the play that they're at. But at the same time, 365 days ago, after they played the New York Knicks on December 6th, 2017, the Memphis Grizzlies were 8-16, and they were in the midst of a five-game losing streak, or starting a five-game losing streak, and it was the bottom falling out of their season even more than it already had. So part of the reason that I look at this the way that I do, and I look at these Grizzlies who have clearly overachieved from what most folks thought was reasonable for them, I'm just happy that they're playing competitive basketball. I'm just happy that they're in a position to be in the playoff conversation, that when they beat the Los Angeles Clippers, it's not a conversation of how that hurts your lottery standing. How could we forget? There was a point last year where we were talking about how the Grizzlies should lose so that they don't hurt their standing in the lottery. But now we're back to where the team the past 7 or 8 seasons has been, a competitive basketball team, a team that people have to respect, a team that is not allowing, or when they're having success, is not allowing others to dictate the way that they're going to play basketball. So while I think calling them grit and grind is a little bit strong, and to be honest, a little disrespectful towards Tony Allen and Zach Randolph, I thought that was more of a personality thing along with the Grizzlies than anything. I do think that there's elements of that style of play that they have merged in a more modern sense and with a younger roster, and that's good to see. They're not trying to be something that they're not. They're not going to be able to run up and down the floor. They're not going to be able to play that style of ball. And I think that that credit goes to J.B. Bickerstaff, and that credit goes to the front office for putting around pieces around, Marc Gasol and Mike Conley that complement them in that style of play. Kyle Anderson's a great example. Kyle Anderson's one of the most unique players in the entire association. He's fun to watch. I really enjoy his game. And he's in a place, and he's at a place where his physical tools can be appreciated. Now, they're not fully applied yet. We had a great article go up over at grizzlybearblues.com that compares Kyle to Tony Allen in terms of his unique physical skill set, what he brings to the basketball floor, and how he contributes in ways that are not measurable in the box score all the time. He still has tremendous value for this team. So I enjoy watching Kyle Anderson. I like that he's going to be on the team the next few years. Jaren Jackson Jr. is a revelation. So much better than almost everybody thought he would be at this stage. And it's really good to see the future clear up for this team. There is a light at the end of the tunnel now when it comes to the end of the Marc Gasol and Mike Conley era. And the name of that light is Jaren Jackson Jr. And now with that light clear, with that scene obvious, it's really kind of cool to see the energy. I feel re-energized. Maybe it's because, and I said this on the Hasseltine show on 92.9, maybe it's because I am used to the Grizzlies being successful. I'm of that fan grouping that came in 2011 with the awesome run against the Spurs. And then the game 6 and 7, great games against the Thunder, the miracle push with the flooding and all that. Became a Grizzlies fan. And there's a lot of people like me. So I am used to the development of winning seasons and winning basketball. That's what I'm used to watching when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies. So last year was an anomaly for me. If you've been a fan since the Pyramid days, if you've been a fan since they first came from Vancouver, then you think I sound crazy. But there are a lot of people like me who jumped on the Grizzlies when they first started turning things around, the big upset over the Spurs, all that. And that was the first really bad season that any of us had seen. So maybe it's just simply that they're good again that I feel re-energized. But there were games and times last year that I couldn't see the future. I thought that it was doom and gloom. I wasn't prepared for a lottery pick and being excited about a guy like I am, Jaren Jackson Jr., and the concept of him being around for 8 years or so because of the advantages that come along with having somebody on your team through the draft. So between Jaren Jackson Jr., Kyle Anderson, I think, should be included in that mix. And then whoever comes along in future drafts and as money clears up from Chandler Parsons and Marc Gasol and Mike Conley over the next few seasons, you're looking at an opportunity for a team to continue to sustain success. It's not about a window with Mark and Mike anymore. It's about sustaining success. And for the first time in a while, I feel like the Grizzlies have decided that they are not going to mortgage their future. They're not going to go out and make a trade for a Jeff Green type of player, giving up a first-round pick to try to make something happen that was unlikely to happen to begin with, or was unlikely to happen even with the acquisition of a hypothetical Bradley Beal or somebody of that ilk. They're not going to do anything that's going to hurt their long-term vision. I believe that now. They've earned my trust on that with the work they did in the offseason. And that's something that, given how hard I've been on them in the past, it is a big positive. And I can't stress that enough. I'm pretty excited about how the Grizzlies are doing. It gives you hope. And I'm very hopeful about this squad. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Jeff Calkins having some technical difficulties. He'll be joining us here shortly. Great show tonight. Again, Jeff will be joining us momentarily, and then Peter Edmiston in the second segment of the Athletic Memphis, and then Mark King of GBB will join us in the final segment. The standings and the schedule really do kind of just stand out at you with what Memphis has been able to do and some of the teams they've been able to beat. And they deserve credit for that, like I've been saying. But you also have to keep the perspective of that there's challenges coming up for this Grizzlies team. The first one coming up this coming weekend. It's not going to be easy to go into New Orleans. Now, that's a New Orleans team that has Anthony Davis, who's arguably one of the leading candidates for MVP. Obviously, Giannis Antetokounmpo is up there as well. And then the second half of that back-to-back is back at home. But you got the Lakers. And then Monday night, the Denver Nuggets come to town. And then the Portland Trail Blazers. And then the Miami Heat, Houston Rockets, Golden State Warriors, Portland again, Sacramento, Los Angeles again. So they're heading into a 5 or 10-game stretch that could really define their season in a way. Because if they go 2-8, 3-7, you know, they're back to being under a 500. And in the Western Conference, you have two bad weeks. That could put you out. But at the same time, if they can somehow rattle off 5 or 6 wins against this stretch, and they're able to pick off teams like a New Orleans, like a Portland, that they might be in the mix in terms of playoff tiebreakers. And again, that's why the game against the Clippers was so big. But if they can find ways to do that and have that success and sustain it, you know, that puts you at Christmas, and that's always been my mantra, call me at Christmas. You know, I'm pretty close to being willing to say that the Grizzlies are good. You know, and that might sound silly to some of you, but I try to be patient. I try to let a team develop what their personality is going to be. I'm pretty close to saying that the Grizzlies are going to be pretty good. That this isn't an accident. That this isn't random success because of guys like Mike Conley being healthy. It's because of Marc Gasol being re-engaged on the defensive end. It's because of the addition of Kyle Anderson and what he brings to the table in a unique manner. It's because of Jaren Jack Jr. being so far advanced offensively than we thought he would be. All that contributes to what Memphis is and what they are right now. And that's exciting to me. And Jaren being the major surprise. Now, the major disappointment for me when it comes to this team is the lack of depth on the wing. Because in theory, you should have lots of depth. I mean, I'm looking at the roster here as we speak. You have Chandler Parsons, and yeah, that is what it is. Garrett Temple, Dylan Brooks, Wayne Selden, Marshawn Brooks, Kyle Anderson, Omri Caspi, and then obviously the two-way player, Yuta Watanabe, and then Shelvin Mack. You know, those are all guys that are perimeter players. I include Shelvin Mack because he has been a part of the rotation where he'll play alongside Mike Conley for extended minutes. So he's included in that list for me. And considering the minutes that are played, there just hasn't been a ton of production. Wayne Selden struggled, shooting 41% from the field, 34% overall from three. Marshawn Brooks shooting 32.5% from three. You have, obviously, Dylan Brooks getting injured hasn't helped matters. You know, Shelvin Mack continues to kind of cool off from his red-hot start. He's still shooting 40% from the arc, but he's cooled off considerably. There's not a ton of production behind Mark and Mike offensively, and then, of course, behind Kyle and Jaren Jackson defensively. That's not to say that Garrett and Shelvin and those other players don't have value. It is to say, though, that they're not able to sustain the level of production that they've had. So what's the answer? What do you do? Trade? Possibly. The free agent signing was Joakim Noah, who I think most Grizzlies fans would agree has paid off in just one game, but it'll be good to see him try to sustain that over, you know, 2, 3, 5, 10 games. You know, the back-to-back coming up, it'll be interesting to see how his minutes are kind of divided up between those two contests. So the wing depth, the situation on the wing, and that's another reason why I'm cautiously optimistic with these Grizzlies. You don't have to jump head first looking at this roster, knowing that Chandler Parsons is what he is at this point, may not play this year. I'll believe it when I see it that he does play this year, but if he does, it's going to be limited minutes. Obviously, he's not going to be anywhere near what we thought he would be just going into this season, much less when he originally signed the contract. So you pay for the sins of that signing to an extent, but you need more from the wings. And in fairness to the wings, they're playing pretty well. It's just that they may not be capable of giving you what you need if you truly want to be a contender in the playoffs. Now, as I said from the jump, I'm okay with them not being a contender in the playoffs. If they won 39 or 40 games and missed the playoffs, I'd be totally cool with that. I would be totally fine. Not everybody else would. I realize that. But I would be good with it. I would be totally cool with them missing out as long as that pick conveys. To me, that is the most important piece because it allows for your future to officially start. But if you want to try to contend this year, if you think you're a wing away, a Bradley Beal away, an Evan Fournier away, whoever it might be, comes down to what you're willing to give up. And I don't think they should be willing to give up a first-round pick. They sure as hell shouldn't be willing to give up Jaren Jackson Jr. unless somebody wants to trade Paul George here or LeBron James or somebody like that, and obviously that's not going to happen. But that's the value I place on Jaren Jackson and what he can be. Which is funny because I was one of the loudest non-supporters of the pick initially, not because I didn't think he'd ever be good, but because I thought it would take a while. And clearly, it did not take as long as we thought it would. Forgive me here. Working through some technical stuff. Grizzly Bear Blues Live again. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. And it looks like Jeff Calkins will not be able to join us tonight. I apologize for that. Some technical issues with Jeff. We'll get those things straightened out and have him back on down the road. So we'll be moving into the next segment here momentarily with Peter Edmiston. I was going to talk to Jeff about those successes and surprises and disappointments. also whether or not Mike Conley was an all-star. And I think that if you look at Mike Conley's stats, he's putting up some all-star numbers, but again, the Western Conference is loaded and it just got more loaded. You know, DeMar DeRozan being in the conference, LeBron obviously being in the conference will take up a spot. It's not like it's gotten easier to make the Western Conference playoffs. Now, Jimmy Butler going from the West to the East certainly helps. But it's going to be tough for Mike, even with the success that he's had. It really is. Pretty interesting to kind of see how it's all worked out for Mike. And we'll bring in Jeff Calkins. I think we might have figured out what's going on here. Jeff, how are you doing, sir? Jeff Calkins of the Daily Memphian and of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Jeff, how are you doing?
Well, Joe, you were so gracious. You've been on my radio show so many times. And so whenever a guest is late to show up to my radio show, I'm in a semi-panic. So I'm deeply apologetic. I had something come up that I could not get away from. And so literally I was giving a speech and they wouldn't let me off the dais. And so I'm finally free and I apologize profoundly. The good thing is Peter Edison is going to rescue y'all, but I'm here for however long you still want to keep me. And I apologize for being late. I had a speech at 7 and I thought it would be done by 8, but they just now let me off the dais. So I apologize.
It's okay.
But anyway, so yeah.
Good. We're talking about Mike
Conley,
an all-star. And
yeah, it's an interesting
still be Mike. Obviously, he's got a role in it, but.
Yeah, to me, you would. The problem is, like, who's not going to make it, right? So Harden's going to make it, right? Lillard's going to make
sure.
It. Would you have to agree with those? Now,
right.
Russ and Steph, who have both been injured, but they're both going to make it, right?
I think so.
So you've got Russ and Steph and Harden and Lillard clearly going to make it, those four. So we have two more guards?
I think that's fair to say, yes.
And so that would be DeMar. Here, you tell me who makes it. DeMar, Booker, Clay, McCollum, Mike. You get to pick two of those. DeMar is averaging 24 points a game. Booker, Clay, McCollum or Mike?
Well, I think history tells you that Clay Thompson will probably be one of them. Whether it's deserved or not, Clay seems to be in that mix consistently. I would hope Mike would be the second one other than that, but that doesn't necessarily, you know, Devin Booker obviously having a good year, DeMar DeRozan having a good year. It kind of comes down to how it all plays out, and obviously the Spurs are down, the Suns aren't what they hoped they would be.
I think
obviously
that helps him more. Yeah, I do think – I think what Mike has going for him is I think probably in that group I would imagine he would make it because I think you're right. I think Clay makes it, but then the fact that DeMar is not on as good a team, that Booker is not on – and is young. Like I do think there will be a sense that Mike deserves – it's not a lifetime achievement award, but there is some
right.
sense of if it's close, he's never been on – and not only that, you are seeing vividly this year the difference between what the Grizzlies are with him and without him, right? It couldn't be more vivid. And so for those reasons, I think he would get that last spot. Plus, of course, you can't rule out the fact that there might be another injury or whatever. You could have someone pull out, whatever. So I think if I were a betting man at this point, I would say that Mike will likely be on the team. But I don't think it's I certainly don't think it's a given. I do think I think it's his best shot yet.
The best shot yet is a very fair way to put it. I would agree with that. He'll be one of those last two spots still, even if he's more deserving than someone else. But you look at the Western Conference, the fact that the Grizzlies are playing better basketball, and the fact, like you said, it's clearer more now than it ever has been. Grizzlies fans have always kind of known it from watching, but without Mike Conley, Memphis is just lost. We're joined here by Jeff Calkins of the Daily Memphian, also of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, you're a busy man. No need to apologize or anything like that. We'll get you out of here on this. The idea of this start, okay, because, again, you and I have talked, like you said, I've been on your show before. You're a friend of GBB here on the podcast, and you speak nicely of the blog, which I appreciate. So we've been around the block a time or two at this stage in our relationship, and it's good to see Memphis having success, but at the same time, it feels like the bottom's going to fall out at some point, at least for me. Maybe it's the cloud of last season. You know, I don't live in Memphis anymore, so maybe the penny positivity hasn't fully engaged me from the Tigers, and maybe I'm just still feeling the blues from what the Grizzlies were. But I just feel like you look at this roster, before you hopped on, I talked about how Shelvin Mack and Garrett Temple, a lot of these guys have played well to really, really well, and especially in the case of a Shelvin Mack, kind of coming back to what they have been throughout their careers. Role players, decent role players, but not guys that can help contribute beyond that. Garrett Temple is a good three-point shooter, and I think he can sustain that. But in terms of being a scorer, 15, 16 points a game, I don't think that's sustainable. So anyway, you look at this team and you look at the rest of the West and the current standings of the Western Conference. You have the Denver Nuggets, which are loaded with talent. Obviously, the Thunder have the two superstars, Westbrook and George. You've got the Clippers, who are playing really good ball. The Grizzlies just beat them, but the Clippers are a pretty good team. Golden State's the 4 seed right now, which certainly isn't going to continue. You would imagine LeBron and the Lakers will continue to get better. And then the Portland Trailblazers and the Dallas Mavericks are behind the Grizzlies for the 7 and 8 spots. You have the Sacramento Kings, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Utah Jazz, the Houston Rockets. 13 teams in the Western Conference either at or within a game of a 500 record. So that's 13 teams that are going to be in this conversation the entire way through for only 8 spots. I have a hard time believing that Memphis is going to be able to sustain this. Maybe I'm just being negative and you can convince me that I'm wrong and I need to be more positive, Jeff. Do you see this as sustainable?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're – listen, the bottom will ultimately drop out of this franchise when – I mean, first of all, it's unquestionably true that there's less buzz about the Grizzlies this year than in the halcyon days. It's just true. Partly the penny thing. And then partly, it's the same cast of characters. It's not, though, because of Jaren, but it feels a little, coming into the year, it felt like that, with some solid but not inspiring additions, right? Like, that's how you would characterize it. So that's true, and ultimately they're going to have to deal with the loss of Mark and Mike, and they will recycle, and having one really good player, which is what Jaren Jackson is, could be budding star, appears to be, isn't going to be enough to keep you from scraping the bottom again. So ultimately, the bottom will drop out. In terms of this year, would I at this point predict they will make the playoffs? I think still probably no. But would I? My goal coming into this year was twofold: be competitive. Don't have another year like last year where the games don't mean anything. So be competitive. And be good enough to convey the pick to Boston and develop, in the meantime, Jaren Jackson in the future. And I think right now, those are my goals coming in. That's what I wanted for this team. And I think right now, there's no evidence that they're not going to be competitive, that they're not going to be entertaining, and that they and very clearly, Jaren Jackson is a revelation. I think those things are all sustainable. Is it sustainable that they stay in fifth or sixth or whatever, as opposed to ninth? I think the likelihood is they will be caught. So on the third quarter last night, they couldn't score. They just don't have what they need is some perimeter scoring, and particularly with Dylan Brooks out. Not that he's Kobe, but I think they miss it. But I don't see any reason why they can't remain competitive. And I do think that the front office deserves immense credit for a summer when, heck, I remember you on draft night. I remember coming on the show and saying that I think people were being way too hard on Jaren Jackson Jr. and that I thought he was going to be a good pick, and he has turned out to be. There were people who complained that they didn't do a national search for J.B. Bickerstaff's gig, and I thought it was totally reasonable to hire J.B., and I think they've been proven right in that. I think the Kyle Anderson deal looks pretty good right now. I think the Garrett Temple deal, like, it looks like a bargain right now. So far, the Noah thing was inspirational. Who knows how it's going to play out? So I think it's totally sustainable for them to be competitive throughout the rest of the year. And to me, given that was my goal to begin with, I'm cool with that. And if they make the playoffs on top of it, well, that would be fantastic. But I don't. That's not my bar.
I'm exactly on the same wavelength as you. I agree with the goals being competitiveness and the conveying of the pick. I've said that all along as well. I'm one of the ones that questioned the JB hiring. I have to agree that it looks like that's paid off to this point. There's still things that he does that are frustrating, but in fairness to him, that's every coach that's ever coached basketball or any sport for that matter. So he definitely has the ear of the veterans. You can tell that Marc Gasol is more engaged. Obviously, Mike Conley playing is a huge benefit. And I do think that the two goals that you and I share for this group, the idea of them conveying the pick to Boston and them remaining in the playoff hunt, I think it could very conceivably be them heading into April only being two games out of the 8 or 7 seed. I think that's certainly possible. Don't necessarily see them finishing out that way. Jeff, thank you so much for your time.
Let me ask you one question.
So this is the question that Gary Parrish asked me on his show today. So Nate Silver originally had him winning 32 games, and now he has him winning 42 games, right? And the question is this: if you could lock in 42 wins, or take whatever's behind door number 3, would you take your 42 wins? I'm to the point now, this is how optimistic I am, that I sort of assume that they're going to end up somewhere between 38 and 42 wins anyway. I wouldn't, if you offered me 42 wins, I wouldn't take it, because I think there's some chance that they're going to get 45 or 44 and be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I wouldn't take it either. My projection for them was 39 wins to start the season. I'm going to stay by that until they pass it. But no, I wouldn't take whatever's behind that door, because I agree with you. I think they could certainly get to 44, 45 wins.
I would take 42. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Sorry for being late. I can't wait to listen to what Peter has to say. Thanks.
No problem. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you. There he goes.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff Calkins, one of the busiest men in Memphis, so no hard feelings on that. I appreciate his time. Jeff heading out. The Daily Memphian, make sure you're following him on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. I have a Daily Memphian subscription. Highly valuable, wonderful thing to have for Jeff Calkins, Chris Harrington, Jonah Jordan on the Tigers. All sorts of great writers over there over at the Daily Memphian. So make sure you're giving Jeff a follow. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We carry on. My name is Joe Mullinex. I'm the host of this show. I'm the site manager of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity to be that host. And before we bring in our next guest, I do want to point out one obvious thing, or at least it's obvious to me, and maybe it's not obvious to everybody else, but Dylan Brooks is missed. And I'll talk to Peter a little bit more about that here momentarily, but Dylan Brooks is missed. He's a guy that I think if they can get him back on the floor in the next couple of weeks, give him a month or so to get integrated back onto the team, they can see if he can be the guy to be that scorer for them. And again, he's not going to be, like Jeff said, he's not going to be Kobe. He's not even going to be, you know, he may not be what Chandler Parsons was going to be, you know, 16 point a game scorer. But if he can come in and be a consistent 12 or 13 points per game scorer, and he can replace the minutes of a Marshawn Brooks, I think that that's going to be a big plus for this team. And obviously even eat into some of the minutes of Shelvin Mack and guys like that. You know, you're depending a lot on a second round pick, but Dylan Brooks showed a lot of flashes of what he's capable of doing. So his absence has really hurt Memphis maybe more than others have talked about. I know our next guest has talked about that a little bit, and I'm excited to talk to him about his boy, Jaren Jackson Jr. He's probably been waiting for this day for some time. He is the co-host of the Willow and Peter Show on Sports 56 WHBQ in Memphis. He also is a writer for The Athletic and their Memphis group, their Memphis branch. He does a great job with them. And he is the leader, in my opinion, of the Jaren Jackson Brigade. His name is Peter Edmiston. Peter, how are you doing, sir? Welcome back to GBB Live.
Well, hello there, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing well. You must be doing pretty well these days. You look very right, sir. Very right indeed.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's all going according to plan. I think it's fair to say.
Yes.
At this point. So actually, it's all really ahead of plan.
Right.
Kind of. I really can't even. Yeah. It's hard to even really begin to comprehend, you know, what we've seen thus far from Jaren Jackson Jr. And I would like to take credit, and so I will. I would like to take credit for having, you know, this kind of foresight about what would happen. But I didn't even see this level of offensive capability coming. His offense is really, so far ahead of where I thought it would be. It's crazy. And he's just scratching the surface. So, you have to just kind of recalibrate everything about your expectations at this point.
Absolutely. I think it's very realistic to say that him and Luka Doncic are right there, 1 and 2 perhaps, in the Rookie of the Year conversation. I have his numbers in front of me, Peter, and I know you've done a deeper dive than the basic numbers, but just per game, shooting almost 52% from the field, about 34.5% from three, two blocks a game, one steal, 4.6 rebounds. You'd like to see that be a little bit higher. But the most important number, and something that we need to continue to keep in perspective when we look at what Jaren Jackson is doing right now, is the number 19, and that's his age. And he's a young 19. Like, he just turned 19 in September, I'm pretty sure. So you're looking at a guy who is, like you said, just scratching the surface of what he's capable of. And I flew in for the draft, and I talked with you for a little bit, and you could tell that I was frustrated, and I appreciated you taking some time to chat with me. And you really thought that he was a young man that was capable of doing more than I thought he was, because my beef was never with him in terms of he'd never be good. My beef was I thought they were taking a guy for the future, and they were so hell-bent on trying to be better now. That was my frustration. And it turns out, and as you put it there, you thought that he was going to be better than I did from the beginning, but he's been better than just about everybody has thought he would be, especially offensively. I mean, this is a kid who, you look at his advanced numbers, is just through the roof in so many different places. And he was that to an extent in college, especially on the defensive side of the floor. But he's just so much better offensively than he was given credit for. And it's not like he has a low usage rate. I mean, he's one of the leaders on the Grizzlies in terms of usage. So maybe he's not used consistently the way that he should be, or especially in crunch time minutes. And I know you've written about that a little bit. But he's a guy who, it's not like he's doing this in flashes. You know, he's a focus of the Grizzlies, and he's having this success on a good basketball team. That's another thing. You rarely see a rookie on a good basketball team be a legitimate threat. And that's what Jaren Jackson is, and that's a big reason why the Grizzlies are where they are right now.
I mean, it's just, this is where, you know, it kind of gets crazy because, yeah, he is a young, very young 19. You know, September 15th was his birthday. So, you know, about a week or so before reporting for a training camp, he turned 19. So he was 18 all through the summer when guys were working with him, and everyone just raved about what he was doing at that point. And, you know, he's still kind of figuring out. When he was in the summer league, he was 18, doing his thing. And you have to go back to, you know, LeBron and those kind of guys that were in the league at 18 and doing stuff like that. And he's as close as you can possibly be to being in the league at 18 with all the NBA's new age requirements and stuff like that. So he's about as young as it gets for a big time player. And, you know, he's like so far beyond, ready to handle the continual ramping up of the challenges that face you in the NBA. Every game is a little bit harder, a little bit trickier. As teams start to scout you, you have different challenges, and he's really even keeled. And when you talk to him, he's very 19. I mean, he's very much a 19 year old. So, you know, he's extremely into the new music, the, you know, Fortnite, the whatever, you know, social media platforms are paramount to him. But when you talk basketball to him, he comes across as like a 30-year-old. He just all of a sudden kind of changes his demeanor when he's on the court. He changes his demeanor. I mean, he's a goofball in every way except basketball, which is pretty amazing to think about. So, you know, when he joins a team that's ready to win now and that has veterans that are not messing around, you know, Marc Gasol will be 34 next month. You know, he's not in the mood to, you know, just, you know, spend a few years babying Jaren Jackson. He tried that with Deontay Davis already. That didn't really work. Jaren Jackson's a million times better than Deontay Davis, but, you know, same kind of thing. He's not going to do that with a kid that he doesn't believe in. And, you know, he sort of jumped off Deontay's train pretty early. He absolutely loves Jaren. Talked to Joakim Noah last night about Jaren, and he was raving about how good, you know, Jaren is, and he's just had a few practices to kind of get to know him, and get used to him a little bit. You shake your head. I mean, and as I wrote about on The Athletic today, I'm doing kind of a monthly check-in on his progress. And in the monthly check-in, he had that 36-point crazy game against Brooklyn. But he'd never before at any point in his career scored more than 30 points in a game, not in college, not in high school, never. So the first time he does it is on the road in the NBA, highlighted by a 7-point outburst in 12 seconds to tie the game with two crazy threes. That had never happened before in any point in his career. So when you start putting stuff like that out there, then it tells you that there really is no, I don't know what the ceiling is. I mean, when a 19-year-old has his first 36-point game, first time he's over 30 at this stage, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you do? How do you even like quantify that? I mean, it's crazy. And so I tried my best. I encourage people to read the whole thing, but at the end, I kind of looked at that usage, like you're talking about. He's at 23% usage right now, which is pretty high, particularly for a rookie. And if you look at guys that have his true shooting percentage, he's over 60% true shooting. That accounts for free throws and 3-point shots, as well as just field goals. So it kind of incorporates all of your aspects of shooting. You look at the guys that have had a 23% or more usage rate while shooting 60% or better true shooting, which he is doing right now, and blocking at least two shots per game, which he is also doing right now. The guys that have done that, Kareem, Shaq, David Robinson, Yao, Kevin McHale, Anthony Davis, Patrick Ewing, Artis Gilmore, Mari Stoudemire. That's it. And
wow.
He's there right now. Now, again, that's the quarter of a season in and whatever, but it's the first quarter of his season. And he's putting those numbers up. In addition, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's put up shooting splits that are 56% from the field, 44% from three, 83% from the free throw line. So he's in the neighborhood of 50-40-90, which is the realm of Steph Curry, Larry Bird,
right, Kevin Durant,
Steve Kerr, et cetera, Kevin Durant. He's in both of those departments at the same time at the age of 19. So when you start even kind of just thinking about that stuff, like he's truly a unicorn. Like and when you watch him play, you can see he just is scratching the surface. Like he doesn't even know like what he's doing out there yet. When he figures that out and when it really starts to slow down, I mean, again, it's fingers crossed, everything goes okay. And whatever, you can never predict the future, but my God, like he looks, everything points to an incredible, incredible career.
Yeah, I mean, I have his, again, shout out to basketballreference.com. Everybody who is in my line of work as a blogger, and Peter obviously is as an actual writer, it's the Bible. His field goal percentage by distance, okay? So his field goal percentage on field goal attempts, this is from 0 to 3 feet from the basket. He is at 76.9%. Which is just awesome. I mean, that compares to Marc Gasol, who's at 71.1%. Obviously bigs are naturally going to be a little bit better at that, but it's pretty remarkable what he's doing at the age of 19, especially offensively. I'm sure you saw it, Peter, and it probably made you very upset when you read it. I wrote an article because the past week or so, Grizzlies fans and bloggers and Grizz Twitter gets bored and come up with ideas for trades and stuff. And Bradley Beal was a major topic the past week and a half or so, and it inspired me to write an article about what exactly is the worth of Jaren Jackson Jr. at this stage. His worth in terms of what I would take back in a trade. I said I would take back the following: LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Giannis, the Greek Freak, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, which I acknowledge is a bit of a stretch, and then Jason Tatum as well, a bit of a stretch. I think those first six are pretty solid, and you can cut the other two if you'd like. That's just my personal list. But even if you include all eight, that's the list to me. And I think if you stick with that first six, that's literally six of the top eight or nine best players in the entire NBA. Now, again, that's assuming, as I say in the article, you're not trading for Steph Curry because you're keeping Mike Conley. You're not trading for Joel Embiid because you're keeping Marc Gasol. It doesn't make a ton of sense to trade Jaren unless you're trying to maximize the Mike and Mark framework of team building. And then even then, it doesn't make a ton of sense to trade Jaren. It was just a fun exercise. So I'm curious as to your list. I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit. Maybe there are less names than that. Maybe there's fewer. Maybe you would still trade for an Embiid or a Steph Curry, despite Mark or Mike. Who do you think is worth Jaren Jackson Jr. 20-plus games into his NBA career? Hypothetically,
I mean, if I'm being honest, like nobody. I wouldn't trade him for any of those guys because it doesn't match your – like what you're really going to do. I mean, I don't think this team at this stage, as much as it would be nice to have, you know, some of those guys you're talking about. And I mean, I guess, you know, I would, the Giannis and Anthony Davis would be the ones that I would be the most intrigued by. LeBron would be great. But again, you're talking about, you know, at his age, you know, you're really closing up a window. If we're all in this hypothetical realm of, you know, wonder world where this, something like this could theoretically even happen, which is totally 100% impossible. I would say those are the guys, the young guys like that, that have that kind of talent. Those are the ones that I would want to be part of. And, you know, that's really it. Nobody else that I think I couldn't justify Jimmy Butler. I couldn't really justify any of those guys, to be quite honest with you, because I think Jaren's the top end talent that you're looking at is so high that, you want to maximize it. You want to just let that thing run. I mean, see what happens. And he's in a really good environment to thrive right now. If you get Giannis, for example, okay. If we're dealing with it, like as if the contracts are right now, if you're dealing with the contracts as they are right now, you've got the same problem that Milwaukee's got, where if you don't start to win and compete ASAP, you know, within the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to start to have all the rumors, the I'm ready to leave, all this stuff, the things that go along with the small market superstar. Same thing with Anthony Davis, you know, who is basically this summer is going to be either signing an extension with New Orleans or he'll likely be somewhere else. It's kind of a, you know, fish or cut bait situation. With Jaren, at least right now, you still have those 4 years plus the extension years. You basically got, you know, 8 or 9 years to figure something out, to transition out of Mark and Mike and whatever into Jaren plus blank. And that's a better position for you to be in. I don't think Mike, Mark, and Giannis, I'm not sure that beats, you know, the Warriors. And that would be the only reason you would even consider something like that would be like, I'm going to win the title this year. I don't know that that's realistic, even in that scenario. So I wouldn't do it. I mean, again, none of this is even remotely on any planet. It would never, ever, 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 ever happen. Ever. Ever. Let me say ever 4 or 5 more times. But since we're just in purely
Peter,
in a theoretical realm,
let me have some fun. Let me have
no.
Some
I mean,
fun.
If you want to go theoretical, great. Like I said, I mean, that's theoretically what I would say. And the Bradley Beal thing again. That's also not going to happen. I mean, I wouldn't even. Listen, I like Bradley Beal. I think he's a good player, but you know the level of talent that you could have with Jaren. Again, this is obviously, you know. We'll see. I mean, it may be that this is just an incredibly hot start and, you know, he may not develop quite to that level. Maybe he just ends up being a good, solid player and not a, you know, Tim Duncan 2.0. But that's still the way you can build the framework. You can win with that guy. If he turns into Al Horford, that's pretty good, right? You can win with a complimentary big who is able to defend his position really well. Both in the perimeter and in the paint. And then whatever else he gives you on the offensive end is gravy. He's already basically there, pretty much. You know, he and Mark, that's the best defensive twosome in the league over the last 6 weeks. In the league, I mean, everybody. Go up and down the list. So, and he's 19. Again, so you would think he would get even better in that regard. The Grizzlies are, it's a miracle that they've got him. They have usually screwed these things up so badly that they managed to get this one absolutely spot on. So I wouldn't move him for basically anything.
Win shares per 48 minutes, 0.157 for Marc Gasol leads the team. Second place on the team, 0.156, is Jaren Jackson. He's in front of Mike Conley. He's in front of Kyle Anderson. And he's 19 years old. He's 15 years younger than Marc Gasol. I mean, you make a fair argument, and the hashtag Trust Peter movement has won me over. It's just pretty amazing to see what he's capable of and to consider how much better he could get, even if he just stays where he's at, essentially. If sustaining this and without having foul trouble is his ceiling, that's a pretty, pretty damn good basketball player that you can build around. Well, we're finishing up here with Peter Edmiston of The Athletic for Memphis, as well as Sports 56 WHBQ in Memphis. Follow him on Twitter at Peter Edmiston. I want to get a quick take here, Peter, on the job that JB Bickerstaff is doing. I was talking with Jeff a little bit earlier, and I was one of those guys who was hesitant about not doing a more national search, not bringing in more people to try to pick their brains, that sort of thing. But the Grizzlies were pretty hell-bent and set on having their man. And to this point, in fairness, it looks like that is justified. His treatment of Jaren Jackson's foul trouble has certainly been a topic of conversation among many folks. He does some interesting things set-wise. He goes away from everybody that isn't named Mike Conley in the fourth quarter, it seems. So there's some stuff that people can disagree with, but that's with any coach. How would you grade the first quarter of JB Bickerstaff's first season as a full head coach, not having to be an interim coach? It's his show.
Yeah, I think overall he's done a good job. I would say he's done better than I expected him to do. I was one of the guys that thought that they should search a bit more, that there was no reason just to immediately take the interim tag off and not even interview any other candidates. That, to me, as much as I like JB personally, and as much as I think he's got a good basketball mind, he's not, to me, he wasn't at that level where you say, well, we just got to bring this guy in. But as we're seeing with, like, you know, Nick Nurse in Toronto, it's about fit. You know, Nick Nurse is not, he was a, you know, highly touted, well-regarded, you know, lead assistant under Dwayne Casey, and had, you know, experience, in a number of different capacities. But, you know, you wouldn't have thought, oh my God, you got to put Nick Nurse in and he's going to take the Raptors to a different level. But really, he's done a great job, and he's experimented with their lineups and done a lot of different things that Dwayne Casey might not have done. Obviously, a healthy Kawhi certainly helps, but he's messed around with that bench, and he's got them playing at a super elite level. You know, it's kind of reminiscent of, you know, Steve Kerr being able to kind of upgrade on what Mark Jackson did. So, you know, the assistant can jump in as long as the fit is right. And in this case, I think the fit was really right. And that's something that I probably undervalued when talking about JB. The fit with the relationship that he has, you know, with everybody in that locker room, he gets along, you know, very well. And I think get along, like, you know, it wasn't about getting along with Fizdale so much as it was just kind of a business partnership and how they saw basketball and their, you know, interpersonal dealings on a kind of a business level. It's JB's got all that taken care of, but he empowers those guys in a different sort of way. And he kind of allows them to set the tone. He doesn't dictate to them the way that Fizdale did how to lead. He lets them lead, and they're more low-key guys. They're not rah-rah. You know, Fizdale made Gasol the solo captain, trying to, you know, generate some kind of rah-rah, big-time, you know, vocal captain guy, and that's not Mark. JB gets Mark. He understands that. He lets him be much more low-key with what he does, and he's really allowed those guys to lead. So if you're going to be a successful coach in the NBA, you've got to get your locker room on board, and you have to get those guys playing together and playing for whatever it is that you want to build, and the Grizzlies are doing that for JB. So that's step number one. From a strategic standpoint, I mean, I think he's done okay. There have been some stuff I would quibble with, some of his use of bench players. You know, I think the lack of credible wing depth is problematic, although you're seeing some good signs from Marshawn Brooks lately. Losing Dylan Brooks was definitely a problem in that area, although Dylan's not that good. He's got the Quincy Pondexter syndrome of you know, when he's out for a while, people overrate just how good he is. Like, I think he's good, but let's not go crazy, you know, when he comes back. I think that's been okay. The minutes he's worked Mike and Mark a little too hard, and I think you're seeing that with Mark of late. He's struggling. He had a terrible game last night, and I think he's kind of feeling the effect of it. He just looks tired to me. As much as those guys want to play, and if you let them dictate it fully, they'll play a lot, especially Mark. So you kind of have to be, you know, a little demonstrative with him and make sure he doesn't overdo it. I think he's overdone it. So they need to back that off, and you saw a little bit more with that rotation there. The Jaren stuff, I don't get worried about. I think people overplay that. He's got a great relationship with Jaren. I think he really expects a lot of him. Again, he's a 19-year-old, as you mentioned, who's on a winning team. There's very, very, very unusual status of being a 19-year-old. And not only that, being not a wing, because the guys that have been 19 have been wings. You're Donovan Mitchell's, Jason Tatum's, who were on winning teams. But wings are different. They kind of dictate things a little bit. Their roles are different. He's a defensive oriented big who happens to be getting more offense than you would have thought. But that's really first and foremost. There's very few of those guys who are 19. The responsibility level is different, and they've put a lot on his shoulders. And I think he's learned a lot. I think he's grown, and he's gotten better, quite a bit better. So I would give some credit to JB and the coaching staff for that. I think he's got an outstanding coaching staff he's put together. So overall, to me, honestly, Joe, I think he's doing a pretty good job. I can't quibble with too much. I'd give him a solid B at this point, B plus. You know, there are, like I said, little, you know, ticky-tack things here and there, but the big stuff he's gotten right, and that's the most important thing.
You are what your record says you are, Bill Parcells once famously said. And, yeah, I'm with you. I think JB's done pretty well, and I also agree that you have to be impressed with the coaching staff they've assembled and the way that they're interacting. It's just a much healthier environment than it was with David Fizdale for multiple reasons that we don't have time to get into right now, but perhaps for another show down the road. Peter Edmiston, thank you so much for your patience, your flexibility, all the great work you do on the Memphis Grizzlies. It is much appreciated. Hopefully you get some of that GBB bump, as we love to talk about. And of course, we'll have you back on down the road.
Yeah, man, I want that GBB bump, and big shouts to my guy, Omari Sankofa, helping me out with The Athletic, as well as we're
absolutely,
you know, trying to expand. A lot of great coverage for Grizzlies fans out there, so I don't want you to subscribe to The Athletic at the exclusion of everybody else. I just want you to subscribe to everything, and have us be one of them.
I think that as the Grizzlies, you know, kind of become more prominent, obviously Jaren Jackson Jr., you guys may have noticed this, our shout outs to everybody out there. Our numbers are looking pretty good over at GBB. And, you know, I think that things are expanding a little bit for us. So, you know, the Daily Memphian, the Athletic, you know, GBB obviously is a little bit different, but there's a lot of good content out there for Grizzlies fans.
Well, I can tell you, the Jaren thing is real. Like, the Jaren bump is
absolutely real.
We published my Jaren piece like around lunchtime, and I've probably had almost as many views and all the engagement numbers and all that stuff are probably already almost to the point that my first one was at, which was a month ago, and it's been up for 3 or 4 weeks or whatever, and you know, this one is probably going to do those numbers in less than 24 hours, what that did in like 3 weeks. So people are definitely like picking up the Jaren steam quite a bit. And so I for anybody out there, you're looking for that content, you're looking for, you know, publish something about Jaren. It seems to, yes, it seems to be quite popular these days. Yuta Watanabe. If you want some Japanese people to read your stuff, Yuta will, oh my God, that will,
yes,
you'll blow your mind. It's incredible what you get.
Well, spoiler alert, my next post is going to be, what is the worth of Yuta Watanabe? And it'll be interesting to see how Japan comes and attacks me.
Just for some free advice, Joe, next time out, can you just do a piece called Can Yuta Watanabe Be the Next Jaren Jackson Jr.? And that's just going to blow everything up. You're just going to explode.
1 million views. I can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
Peter, thank you so much, buddy. Like I said, we'll have you back on down the road. Continued success to you. Congratulations. You're doing great work over there. And I look forward to all the great stuff you're going to do moving forward.
And as always, same man, shouts to all you guys over at GBB. I know you kind of put the whole thing like real writer, whatever. Now, you guys are real writers. just like they are, and you put in a lot of work. Everyone puts in a lot of work over there, so shouts to you guys. I enjoy your stuff, and it's terrific.
Peter Edmiston is the man. Thank you, Peter. Have a good night.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
There he goes, Peter Edmiston, one of my very favorite guests to have on the program, one of the most educated and knowledgeable basketball folks out there, regardless of community. Obviously, we're Grizzlies-centric, but he could write about any team and be pretty darn good. So that's Peter Edmiston. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Peter Edmiston. We're going to jump right into our final segment of the show here. Again, a little bit behind because of the delay with Jeff, but we're going to bring on the host of Locked On Grizzlies. Everybody on the show tonight, I realize I've been away for a while, has a new title. You know, Jeff Calkins obviously now with the Daily Memphian, and Peter with the Athletic, and now we've got the host of Locked On Grizzlies, obviously still with us here at GBB. Mr. Mark King joins the podcast. Welcome back to GBB Live, sir, and congratulations to you on the gig with Locked On Grizzlies.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me. I'm pleased to be on such a big show tonight. I'm up with the big boys.
I don't know about that.
I appreciate that, man.
I'm not. No. See, everybody likes to. You do this as long as I have, and people have to at least understand that you exist. Is where I'm at. I would not
Absolutely.
Say that it's a big show, but I've literally been doing this for 7 years now, which is insane. But anyway. Thanks for coming on, Mark. I appreciate your time, and I know you're busy. You're getting ready to go on a big trip with the family. So taking some time out with me here is appreciated, and I'll get you in and out pretty quick. We talked about this a little bit on Locked On Grizzlies. I have a weekly segment on that great podcast. Make sure you're subscribing so you're not missing an episode with Mark. I do a weekly segment with you there, and we talked a little bit about the idea of Joakim Noah coming in, looking engaged, looking like he can maybe take a little bit more time away from Mark. I know you were listening there for a while to what Peter was talking about. He's exactly right. You let Marc Gasol play however many minutes he wants to play, and he'll try to play 48 minutes a night, and that's not sustainable for Mark. But the fact that he is that engaged right now under J.B. Bickerstaff's regime is pretty impressive considering what we saw from him, obviously, with David Fizdale. And then even at moments when JB was running the show on an interim basis last year, in a down season, everybody could admire Mark and the work he was doing. I wouldn't say that he's dogging it by any stretch of the imagination last year, but you could certainly tell he was frustrated. He was not fully himself. Now, this is the Marc Gasol that we saw during his Defensive Player of the Year run. This is the Marc Gasol that we've seen when he's at his very best. Taking the shooting numbers out of it a little bit, and I agree with Peter, I think he's a little worn down. But in terms of the defensive end especially, Marc Gasol is locked in, and it's fun to watch Marc Gasol being locked in again.
Yeah, I mean, to be quite honest, I don't think we've ever seen this version of Marc Gasol. You know, he's better defensively than he was than when he won that Defensive Player of the Year. He's better, you know, he's just as good shooting three balls as he was a couple of years ago. He's rebounding the ball at a rate that he hasn't done it a long, long time. So, you know, I'm not sure we've ever seen this version of Mark. And he, like you said, he is locked in. But, it, you know, goes along with the players that he's playing with. Mark is a guy who loves to play with, you know, smart basketball players. That's the way he plays. He plays the game, what he believes right or wrong, whatever you think about it, as the right way. And, you know, it goes a long way whenever you're starting five is a group of guys who are super smart basketball players who are constantly trying to improve their defense, constantly trying to improve and get better. And that invigorates Mark. He wants to play with guys like that. It makes him want to be better. And so, you know, he's constantly talking to those guys on and off the floor, and Kyle and Gary, and how they can continue to improve. So, you know, Mark, for everything he's, you know, all the bad things that go along with him, but whatever you think consider bad for him, he's turned it up this season. And he's playing, I think, probably his best year that I've seen him – I personally seen him play, but I think he's playing his best year of his career.
He's been pretty special. He's been pretty special to this, you know, and that just kind of further drives home, like I was talking about with Peter. You know, Marc Gasol leads the team in win shares for 48 minutes, but, you know, just one little measly point behind him is Jaren Jackson Jr., 1.157 to 0.156. So Jaren being as good as he's been – is pretty astounding as well at this point. With Mark King, he's owner, the host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Make sure you give a follow on Twitter if you don't already do so, at @King_producer. Mark, it really is fascinating to look at some of the accolades that the Grizzlies are up for currently, at least in terms of the quarter season. Now, it's a little early. You know, I people make fun of me. I say the call me at Christmas kind of idea when it comes to a lot of this stuff. But I do want people to understand that there's stuff to be excited about that, if it's able to be sustained, is obviously going to be massive for Memphis moving forward. The GBB Live question of the day poll, thanks to the over 210 folks that voted in this week's poll. These are four players, I would say probably the four best players on the Grizzlies right now. They're all up on the line for some sort of season acknowledgement. And shout out to Nate Chester for coming up with this idea. He's probably going to write about the winner of this for a post for next week. But the two options were Marc Gasol, Defensive Player of the Year, Jaren Jackson, Rookie of the Year, Mike Conley making his first All-Star game, and Kyle Anderson being the All-Defensive Player, so being on the All-Defense team. Which one is most likely to occur? The winner with 50% of the vote, so over 100 votes, was Mike Conley as an All-Star the first time, and we talked about that a little bit with Jeff Calkins in the first segment. This feels like the most likely year for Mike, the best shot he's got to get into that All-Star mix. But what is your take on the question of the day? You know, again, it's fun to be good at basketball again, and it's fun to say that all four of those, you know, whether you want to call, you know, Marc Gasol a dark horse candidate, or, you know, Jaren Jackson isn't as good as Luka Doncic. I mean, you can kind of go up and down the list and give the opposite side of the spectrum. But to me, it's just fun to be able to look at that and say, yeah, I could see all four of those things happening if they're able to sustain or even build upon the success they've had.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Mike Conley thing, it's not about Mike Conley. You know, Mike Conley's always been good. That's never been the question. The question is, how many other guards are in front of him? I mean, there's only 12 spots in the All-Star team. There's only so many spots that can give out the guard. So it's never been about Mike Conley. It's been about the other people in front of him. And so, you know, I think Mike Conley has a shot just like he has every other year, but you also have to take into account there's a lot of really good players in the West. That's the problem with Mike Conley's All-Star bid. I'd love to see Mike Conley make it. I think he deserves it. I don't think it's likely. That's just me. I think I voted as Marc Gasol Defensive Player of the Year because, like you said, I mean, he's playing right now at a pace that has been better than he's played in his when he won Defensive Player of the Year, and literally every center that has come in that he's played against in every game is, you know, he's largely won all those matchups this year. I mean, there's been few and far in between where the other centers on the other teams have gotten the best of him. I mean, he's played some really good centers already, and I think, you know, he will continue to do that. But he's largely beat out every other center that he's played. He's shown him up. So, you know, would I like to see Mike Conley make the All-Star team? Sure. But I think it's not likely just because the people in front of him. It's not about Mike for that. I think it's more about the other guards in the West. I think the Marc Gasol Defensive Player of the Year has the best shot at probably happening. Could I see Jaren Jackson, you know, being the Rookie of the Year? Sure, absolutely. I think he's probably got to put some more offense up, but that goes along with J.D. Bickerstaff letting him actually play and getting him into good spots. Then I think Kyle Anderson being an All-Defensive Team, I think that will most likely happen as well. I think if he doesn't make a defensive team at the end of the year, I think that will probably be an upset. I think that'd be upsetting if he didn't make it.
He's able to defend the 1 through 4 positions. He's essentially our Draymond Green at this point in terms of what he can do. Not saying he's as good as Draymond Green. I think at this stage you can make an argument that Draymond is one of the best defenders in the history of the NBA. But I do think he's of that ilk in terms of his versatility as a defender. I'd be surprised if he wasn't on that list too. We're finishing up here with Mark King. Again, he's our own associate editor over at grizzlybearblues.com. He also is the host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Make sure you're following the Locked On Grizz podcast if you don't already do so, and you subscribe to all the different various places that you can listen to podcasts. I'm sure it's available at all those spots. You can also follow them on Twitter at Locked On Grizz, and you can also follow Mark, of course, at King_producer. All right, so as I mentioned, you're going on your big trip. You need to tell your wife that you need to time it better in the future because you're missing about four home games in your trip. But you're going on a trip you should be going on, so no judgment there. But anyway, you look at the next four games between now and the next time we're on Blog Talk Radio. I will actually record a podcast December 13th. I will be back. I won't just record one and then go away for a month again. So by the time that I sit down to do another one of these here, Mark, the Grizzlies will have played four games. They have the New Orleans Pelicans on the road Friday night. Saturday night, they have the Lakers at home. You're missing LeBron. That's a bummer. But they play LeBron and the Lakers Saturday night. Then on Monday night, they're at the number one team, or the current number one team in the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets, again. And then finally, they have the Portland Trailblazers at home on a Wednesday night to kind of round out everything before we go into our next show. That's four games in the next 7 days or so. Obviously, the back-to-back this weekend, and then two games in 4 days after that. How do you see that shaking out? Do you think 2-2 is realistic? Because those are four teams that are either in the playoffs or in the playoff mix, in the case of New Orleans, as we speak. Four pretty talented squads that the Grizzlies are going to be facing down here the next, again, the next 7 days.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2-2 is realistic for this Grizzlies team. I think, you know, this is a team that has always played up to their competition and down to their competition, for better or worse. They're usually ones that, you know, are in the game, good or bad, against those teams. I think 2-2 is realistic. I also think 0-4 is realistic. I mean, these are four really good basketball teams. I think the Pelicans game is a really, really big game because of that. The Pelicans game is a winnable game, even though it's in New Orleans, but I think it's a game you can win. The next three, you know, are hard. I think the ones you probably target to try to win is that Pelicans game and the Portland game. I think those are the two games you try to probably win those games. I think 2-2 is realistic for this team, but like I said, it could easily go sideways and they could go 1-3 or 0-4 very, very easily, because like you mentioned, these are four very good teams. And if you look at out further than that, the next 10 games, they can easily be 2-8 or 1-9, and just as easily go 500. So it's a very important stretch for this Grizzlies team. They've been very, very good against top teams in the West, though, this year. They played them very well. And so it's a very good test for this Grizzlies team to see exactly how they mash up with other top teams in the playoff race. So, you know, are they a playoff team? Are they for real? You know, are they going to be able to slow down some of these top offenses like the Pelicans, and the Pelicans who rebound the best in the NBA and have second chance points better than anybody else? Now, are they going to be able to utilize Joakim Noah better to be able to suppress that rebounding rate? Now, these are all questions that are going to be answered pretty quickly in the next week or so.
I've got them going 2-2 as well. I almost said 3-1 because I was feeling frisky, but I think that it's gonna be hard for them to win both of the games of the back-to-back. I think that Denver is going to be a tough one. I agree with you on Portland. That's going to be an interesting one, and that's, of course, the Amara revenge game as the former social media person for the Grizzlies comes back. Hopefully she's on that trip. But anyway, I'm with you. I think 2-2 is realistic. Hopefully they pick off the Pelicans. I think that's the most important of the four for division, and I think the Pelicans will be closer to them as well as Portland in terms of tiebreaker stuff. I think the Lakers and the Nuggets will probably be in the top four or five teams. I don't see Memphis sustaining that. So 2-2, I think that'd be good. Losses to Los Angeles and Denver make sense. Beating the Pelicans should be the priority, and again, Portland as well. I'm with you on that. Mark, thank you so much for your time, your patience, your flexibility on a difficult night in some ways, but glad everybody was able to come on. I'm glad I was able to chat with you for a little bit. Safe travels to you, my friend, and I will talk to you soon.
Absolutely. I'm glad to come on, and I'll do it anytime. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. There he goes, Mark King, the host of Locked On Grizzlies, also our associate editor over at grizzlybearblues.com. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at King_producer, and follow that great podcast at Locked On Grizz. I have a weekly segment that I do with Mark. I'll be on next week with Sean Coleman, another one of our GBBers. I'm proud of GBB, man. We're growing. We're expanding. A lot of great folks getting opportunity outside of GBB. The work that we put in is being noticed. I appreciate all the words that Peter said, and it's nice to hear and know that we're even a small part of folks' Grizzlies fan experience. So thank you for that, and thanks to Mark for all he does over at GBB. next week. We'll be back recording live on Blog Talk Radio on December 13th. Again, same time, 8 p.m. Central Time. Obviously, you can check us out on iTunes. I post on the Friday after recording the link and the player inside the blog over at grizzlybearblues.com. Lots of different ways to listen to the show. Thank you so much to Jeff Calkins. After being a little bit tardy, he's a busy guy, one of the busiest in Memphis, I'm sure. So I appreciate him taking the time to chat with us. Thank you to Peter Edmiston, a great segment as always. Hopefully the GBB bump helps him out. And then, of course, Mark King did a great job in our segment there to end the podcast. And thanks to all of you for listening to the show. Again, like I said, we've had a good year so far in terms of numbers. The site continues to grow. We're having some success, and that starts first and foremost with you all taking in the content. So thank you for that, and thank you for making GBB part of your Memphis Grizzlies experience. For all of our guests and for everybody over at grizzlybearblues.com, I am the site manager of that wonderful site, and I am the host of this show, Joe Mullinax, saying thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll be back next week. We're back full time now. We'll show a week, at least until Christmas, and then I'll take another break. Hey, it's hard being a blogger, podcaster. Give me a little bit of a break here. Just giving you a hard time. Have a good one, everybody. Have a good week. See you next time. I am Joe Mullinax, and this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Yeah.